Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. We seem to.
That's your impact. Everybody's worried about I wanted the speaker to announce that your presence is a chairperson. Because it's an error. I spoke to the chief to say stop. You guys are going to be fired from here. So all those businesses have proceeded.
Honorable Chair, thanks so much. We seem to be having technical problems, but we will continue from where we had stopped in terms of this. We've gone through the first phase of the introduction of the province, or how the layout is like. If I can't see it.
If
I want to see it. And as we continue, the layout of the province, as we indicated previously, and the quick facts about Limpopo. As the chairperson would see, we are trying to fix languages. 52.1% is Sepedi speaking people, 22.5% are Chitonga, 15.9% are Tshivenda. And the rest is the Ndebele, Botswana, Afrikaners, and the English. Not counting the number of Pakistanis that have already come through to the province as well. That's the provincial management team, as well as the approved structure that we were operating from the year under review. And that's the staffing, as we had spoken to that slide. And the slide that we stopped when we were continuing, because it was different from what the honorable members had. We had corrected that now and had printed for the honorable members copies of what appears to be correct now. As you can note there, there's a breakdown of the numbers of people, of arrivals and departures between the 9 border posts within Limpopo. There's also a 353,847 deportations that had occurred within the province. We have a breakdown of the various nationalities that compose of the 353. We didn't want to bother to bog down to the statistic as to it, but it is available on request. The volumetric on civic services. We've done a 96,016 online registration of births. That is 96,000 births that had occurred and deaths that had occurred at the hospital have been registered within the province. And in the province as well, there's a 191,265 birth certificates that were issued. and ID is 256668. And the 59,977 IDs that are on shelves, the number has gone down because we had undertaken a drive to do a door-to-door service delivery. It is unfortunate that we can't get the number significantly down, as most of the applicants, you'll find that a person has applied for an ID and has moved to Gauteng or to the Western Cape for economic reasons. But as soon as we need to ensure that we get that number down so that it does not exceed the 1 year period where we take it back for destruction to head office. We there's also a drive within head office itself to have all those IDs that were at SAPO to be brought back to head office for them probably to take out a advert so that people can avail themselves. But we are insisting within the province that we will get that number down as soon as we're able to track down all those people. We're using CDWs to ensure that we get to the people that had applied for IDs. For we are of the view that some people are still being sent to head to the post office because on the system it shows that it has gone to the post office. So all these are being updated to indicate so that whenever a customer walks into a Home Affairs office, we should be able to tell them exactly where that ID is, as we do on track and trace. The financial status of the province. That is the expenditure that we, as a province, had gone through. We were allocated about 95 million for the period 07-08. We had utilized 100% of that amount. There's an overexpenditure on goods and services of 113%, and an underexpenditure of 96% on compensation of employees. But the essence of it is that the total amount that was allocated to us for the year was we have utilized 100%. It is 99%, but 99.89%, which is the difference is insignificant. So we are of the view that we were on track in terms of the allocations to utilize all the funds that were given to the province. Although there's funds that were taken away from the province to fund the turnaround action team as well. About 5 million was taken from the province so that we're able to fund the turnaround that is within the department. And then we reporting just on the number of name tags that are being used, and it is a breakdown of the number of people we've indicated previously and the number of name tags that we've given to the office to the official. And there's an indication that in the provincial office there's one official without a name tag, and there's one in Waterberg without a name tag. In Vembe, all of them have name tags, and in Capricorn, 38 out of 175 out of the total does not have name tags. The importance of name tags is for the public to identify who the public servant is that is serving them at the frontline office. Without this, it is very difficult when you have escalations from the public to be able to deal with our staff members in terms of discipline as well. So these name tags come in very handy. So you're able to rectify and correct misbehavior where it occurs. At performance contract, as to the number of performance contracts with management, that is from the assistant directors upwards. Those are the statistics indicating that in the provincial province, there's two SMS members, myself and the deputy provincial manager. We have the performance contracts that have been entered into. Within Capricorn, there's five managers that have a contract agreement that have performance contracts. So as it can be shown that all of the managers within the province have performance agreement. So by extension then the staff as well underneath does have the performance agreements in place with their work plans. we start from the strategic plan to break it down to the business plan for the province, and each office has a work plan that they work with, from which they draw their performance contracts. For the period under review, those are the number of vehicles that are within the province, divided between the Capricorn, Vemba, Mopane, and Waterberg. And you will see on the extreme right that there's 16 trucks, mobile trucks. Unfortunately, I have to report to the honorable members that of the 16 trucks, two were only operational for the whole period. So it is unfortunate that given the robustness of the terrain in which these trucks are operating, it has become very difficult for them to deal with the robustness of the terrain. So the trucks are not as durable as it had been intended to be. So most of the time it's we have these two trucks that are overextended and working the whole province, but supplemented as well with the vehicles that we have at our disposal. To ensure that the mobile service does not get curtailed, we do continue to provide that service to the public out there. We have Batubili campaigns. You will notice that it indicates that it is within the outside period of reporting. This is the reason is that the Batubili campaigns or the focus week fell within outside of the reporting period, as the province had to undertake all these other Batubili campaigns that we undertook within the various confines within the province as well. We had one in Senwamo Hope, Mashasi, Makaya Sport Ground, Kodwe, Ngananai, Mukukula, and Bilabila as well. The hosts are indicated on the right hand side. So in essence, that's the indication of the Batubili campaigns that we had in the province. Our relationship between the Home Affairs and local community. Our offices are mostly situated at tribal offices. While we have visiting points, we would be accommodated in tribal offices. This is an indication of the good relationship we have with our tribal offices within the province. And mobile services are rendered in consultation with community leaders. Although we had two mobile trucks that were operational, we still stress these mobiles to the limit, as it will be indicative in the steps that will be provided. The monthly meetings are held with traditional leaders as well, as an indication of the good relation we have with our local communities. We're talking of resource allocations in Limpopo. The following IT resources were received in the previous year. We received 18 computers. We installed firewalls in the province. The firewalls were to ensure that we don't have hackers hacking into the system that are unauthorized to do so. Of the 44 hospitals within the province, we have 23 that are online. The reason we have 23 instead of 44, it's because of the productivity that we look at in these offices. And sometimes the challenge for space acquisition as well. For hospitals are mainly providing a different service from that which Home Affairs is providing. But in essence, we have been able to have the highest number of hospitals that are online within the whole country you would find in Limpopo. And we had 16 passport capturing computers acquired. Why is that important? Before the financial year, we had only two. And this cost a lot of financial strain, a lot of human resource misallocation, because people had to travel long distances to go and have the passport applications captured at the two stations at which we had these passport capturing machines. But now with the 16 that are within the province, it has brought a reduction in cost and expenditure as well, and has seen us utilizing our human resources much more effectively. We have 10 memory sticks that is distributed to regional, provincial, and provincial support managers. Why am I indicating 10 memory sticks? As the department is undergoing transformation, one would share information with the rest of the staff and would expect that management within the province would have to share in turn information with the rest of the province, so that the information does not rest in one head but in as many people as we possibly can reach. So it is important that when an organization undergoes transformation, staff has to be informed. office equipment we had purchased in the previous financial year furniture for all the ASDs, although that was just indicated for the ASD in Mokopane. We appointed about 16 new assistant directors within the province, and each one sitting in a new office that is equipped with a furniture. And we also purchased for the Zanin office some furniture to indicate that it should have the look and feel, the corporate outlook that we would want to have for our offices. And that's a breakdown of the allocation of office equipment within the whole province. The 16 breakdown of the passport capturing machines, we have 2 in Waterberg, 7 in Vembe, we have 3 in Mopane, 4 in Capricorn. The reason we have 0 in the provincial office is that the provincial office is not a public serving office. But we have all these, where public members are served, we have these passport capturing machines in those offices. Counter-corruption and security service support. We have indicated there that 33 offices have had, of the 33 offices that we could fit surveillance cameras, we have done so in Giani only. The reason we did that is it's the allocation of funding. This is a centralized function, and unfortunately, much as we would like to have surveillance cameras in Bedbridge, it is a dependency that we have on head office to supply us with this kind of security. And we in the past financial year, we had, among the three that we have we earmarked to be fitted was Bedbridge. We also had in mind to have the Polokwane office, as well as the Capricorn the Mokopane regional office fitted with the surveillance cameras. We do not have much of the physical security. We have filled about 4 offices have been fitted with alarm systems, and there's about 24 hours provisioning of physical security in various regional and provincial offices. And safes in all mentioned offices are kept for all the sensitive documents that we have in the province. And we undertake vigorously the process of vetting, because we're working with immigration officers, and we're working with officers that are working with very sensitive documents. We had undertook that the vetting that had been done in the past has expired, and some had just need to undergo further vetting. And various results have been made available to us. And as a result of the threat risk and analysis that we did with NIA at Bedbridge, some astounding information has come to the fore, and we're dealing with it on that basis. That is the reason why we then decided to do the vetting of officers, so that we ensure the national security as well. We continue to provide training on management of information, which is the MISS. On a monthly basis, our security officer provides this training. It goes around to the regional offices as they have their monthly meetings as well, and provides this training. We're providing awareness campaigns on office security, and this is done by the security officer. We've installed 3 deadlock guards in 3 Tusong centers, the previously called MPCCs. Which indicated that because MPCCs are designed MPCCs that are out there were designed not with Home Affairs in the fore, and we did not give them a blueprint as to how we want our offices to be laid out and the kind of security features we would want to do. That's a reporting that we had installed burglar proofing and burglar guards in MPCCs. And 90% of the 76 regional district office and service points have already been burglar proof. This to ensure security of the offices. That as much as you would want to ensure there's electronic security, you need to make impediments to access to your premises as impossible as you'd like it to be. The next slide indicates the number of security guards and offices without security guards. We indicate that there's there's no security guard in Waterbeck. The reason was that Waterbeck has minimum offices, about 6 offices. So the cost that goes into it and the dependency that our officers had developed, that security guards would then queue marshal. We then decided to take away the security guards from most of the offices and replace it with physical security, but electronic security, so that the premises can be guarded in the evening, ensuring that the staff continue to do functions that are given to Home Affairs officials to do. Continuing with office security, only permanent staff members have access to our national population register, as each one of them has been given a user ID, and all enabling documents have been stored away, just to ensure that security of documents is highly taken care of. Accommodation within the province, we indicate there the number of offices with problems. The Waterbeck regional office, it's compact. It's so small that inevitably you would get a complaint from the public members that they are squashed in that office, or it's too hot. So we had proposed that we're going to be looking at a bigger office space in the current financial year, so that we alleviate the pressures. Or alternatively, look for an office space at Mahwelere, so that the Mokopane regional office can have lesser people that would be accommodated in that office. In Vembe, NIM is using old public works building. We also envisage to relocate to new offices, which we in the process of acquiring as well. Mopane, because they just in Biane have, and Palabora had a ramp, that is why you see that there's 00. They had a ramp in Palabora and a ramp in Biane. So the offices look much better than the rest of the offices in the province. And the Benin office under Mopane had also recently been moved from where it was to the current office where it currently is now. And it's looking in a wonderful state as well. The regional office, Capricorn, is also complains about space, which creates problems for us to deal with the public members. Eventually, public members spill over to the mall side, and it becomes a problem to deal with that. But we're looking at getting offices. The only challenge in Polokwane is that the growth that is within Polokwane has created problems for acquisition of land. We find it very difficult to get land in Polokwane, and hence are trying all other alternatives that we possibly can. This with the assistance of public works, and we're looking at various options that may be available to us. The transport breakdown on mobile trucks, I've indicated that the 16 trucks are allocated in that fashion, as I previously had indicated in the other slide. And we have a deployment program of these mobiles. The deployment program was designed for 16 mobiles, and as I had indicated, that we only have 2 that are operational. The gaps are plugged by having to ensure that the program does not get disrupted as we deploy the smaller units, mobile units, more smaller vehicles, to ensure that the mobile unit service does not get interrupted as well. We visit all those other points that are not online, MPCCs that are not online as yet, and these mobiles are able to acquire documentation and bring it back to the province, to the regional offices for processing. We also participate jointly in joint service delivery programs with other government departments such as SASA and the Premier's office as well as any other department that might approach us in terms of assistance regarding this. We have Imbizo. In addition to our own Imbizo, there's also other government departments, as I indicated, that invite us to their own Imbizos, and then we continue to assist them with the mobile. We also use these mobile trucks for road shows and mini jamborees. For the current year, we have the Grade 12 Learners Program that we are supporting. It's actually what we had done as provinces, as a program, that we visit schools at the beginning of the year. And it's a good thing that the department centrally has joined hands with us to try to make a campaign that enables us to reach on to the grade 12 learners that need these enabling documentation. So the ID Yourself campaign is a typical example of what provinces have come up with, and head offices assisted in terms of linking it and making it professional and ensuring that the minister launched it previously in April in Cape Town. So essentially that is a program that indicates that as provinces initiate and head office comes to the party, we can be a formidable force together, actually. So we also go to hospitals that are not yet online, as I've indicated that out of the 44 hospitals, we have 23 that are online. So the rest are also served by these mobile units. We visit prisons and orphanages so that we provide enabling documentation. And in other, we have a quarterly program that we have for the mobiles. That is why that bullet says other areas not yet covered in the first three quarters are then covered in every quarter. As I had indicated, that MPCCs were designed not as with Home Affairs as the lead department. So we find ourselves spending most of our resources, our capex, on installing counters as well. That is why we're reporting that we've installed 5 counters at the MPCCs. And we've acquired sites. Mankweng, there's a new site that we've acquired. Practice here, we've just relocated to a new office. And it has also been linked to what the turnaround team terms a spook and plug, a spit and polish exercise. What happens? It's all these new things that are the signage, the flooring that is durable, is being then implemented in these offices, where just a quick win situation gets done. We have 2 offices that are under the turnaround under this program. That is Practice Here and the Mosina office. We also have Jane Fest that is going to be opened in the not too distant future. The office has been completed. The only thing that needs to happen is electricity has to be installed, and we put in our data points, and that office will be operational by end of July. We're hoping that in August we might actually be operating from that Jane Fest office. We have another site at Beggarsford that has been identified. And we envisage to have it installed as an office. At Tawiyatwala, we also have identified an office. The office has been, it's at the point where they just need to deliver it for us to occupy. And we have redesigned the layout of Tanin and Makado to ensure that there's smooth transition in terms of the accommodation of our staff as well as our customers. For our clients, we have negotiations underway with the landlords in conjunction with DPW for acquisition of space for the regional office Vembe, as well as Lebowakgomo, where we need to just use a adequate space where we'll be able to operate from. We are also challenged by a office space in Makado, Elim Malamlele and Zanane. This just indicates the planned improvements that we would want to have. The office layout is a professional and look and feel that enables us to serve our public with pride, and to install ramps as well so that people with disabilities are able to access our offices. We're looking at senior citizens and those that have physical challenges to have special counters created for them in all these new offices. This is the Giani office, which I indicated that has undergone a ramp. This is the kind of office we would want to have in the provinces, so that we're able to operate and can use the space in a manner that would make Home Affairs a different department altogether. We're currently having bi-monthly meetings with all stakeholders regarding the DPW as well as the landlords, regarding opening new visiting points. We want to ensure that as all these Tucson centers get open, we take the lead in ensuring that we provide the kind of layout that we would want to have in that Tucson service center, so that we don't spend money in trying to revamp it to be aligned to the manner in which we operate our business. What follows here is employee wellness programs that have been within the province as well. We had care and support in conjunction with the Department of Health. We held a candlelight support and we're trying to educate our staff on the debilitating effects of HIV and AIDS. And for those that already have this, we're providing the necessary support. Those that come forward, we're able to give the necessary employment assistance. We provided first aid training and occupational health and safety training. And this was conducted within the province as well. The second phase is going to be rolled out to immigration officers, and we on an ongoing basis. This was prompted by some of the offices in the northwest being closed because they did not adhere to living standards or the OHASA standards that are envisaged. So we conduct inspections on a monthly basis. This then informs that. As the PM and the provincial office visit the regions, we have an inspection sheet to check for ourselves that everything is according to the standard. We also have internal competitions that we hold with our respective offices in terms of who is going to take the lead in the turnaround times, which we fortunately with the turnaround times at ID, we're able to get that from the new turnaround team that is within the department, and we are able to tell exactly which office is lagging and which office is a star that we can follow. Those are the various exercises that the teams had undergone just to ensure that morale, and we pep them up. Just to say thank you, recordable.
Thank you very much, Limpopo. There will be a new approach now of presentation. We will have to have the next province to present, and then we would like to see how do we then twin the questions. Next province to present. Yeah. Northwest.
So thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, all the honourable members. Good afternoon, colleagues from the provinces. Thanks. The name is Suleiman Hancock. I'm from the Northwest Province, and I'm going to try to give you a synopsis on the state of the province from the Northwest Province. And within the presentation, issues that I had made sure in my presentation is the items that were requested in a communique that was forwarded from the portfolio committee. Thanks. The table of contents on the presentation would cover the following items: the office conditions and equipment, performance agreements, civic matters, IDs in the shelves, in other words, unclaimed IDs by the end of March 2008, but to bill and name tags, frontline staff, office IT security, physical security, community relations, in other words, stakeholders relations, vehicles in the province, the acquisition of vehicles over the period in question, refugee reception center, mobile units, immigration, provincial budget allocation, the spending of the past budget allocated to the province. I'm not going to talk about the uniqueness of the province. I think the last presentation given to the honorables dealt in detail of about the geographic location of the province, the size, the people, the economic development, etc. But it's safe to say what I've said last still remains in terms of the geographical outlay in terms of the rural nature of the province. Our province, being the Northwest province, still in the main is very rural, and therefore suggests that we deal primarily with quite a lot of outlying areas. This slide would depict to you over the past financial year what in terms of empowering offices within the Northwest province from your provincial office up to the last permanent service point in terms of acquisition of equipment, acquisition of furniture, etc. I'll start with the regional office, which is the central office in Maratu. There are three regional offices in the province against four district municipalities in the province at large. We operate only with three regional offices. Under the regional office of Mabatu, we have increased, during the period in question, benches in the frontline areas, chairs, binders. The very same office also operate with three mobile units. Within the same region of Mabatu, we have a district office referred to as Malopo. The office condition is good of the very office. The office has recently just completed a ramp project through Department of Public Works. There we acquired or assisted with increasing the number of chairs for them, steel cabinets for safekeeping of their documents and identity documents. The Lahuruji office, sometimes also referred to as the Zira's office, is a district office. Also reporting to the regional office of Mabatu, there we also were, over the given period, was able to assist in increasing the number of their tables, chairs, high chairs, low chairs, four-legged chairs, and counters. We also have under the regional office in the district referred to as Bupirima, also within our own operational boundaries, reporting to Mabatu Central Region, Khanyisa office being in the Bupirima district. In that office, we assisted them in the acquisition of steel cabinets, 8 steel cabinets. 21, also care cabinets with compartments, computer stands, shredders, microwaves, two-plate stoves, and in the same Bupirima region, the district office there referred to as your town district office, we are able to assist with the acquisition of a lawnmower. Freiburg district office, nothing was acquired over the period in question.
Then we go to the Shabani region, which is your, which is also known as your Rustenburg region. The very same office was able to acquire the following equipment over the period in question: photocopier, a queue management system, fax machine, a jet machine, 25 office jet machine, television set, and they also have under their management 3 mobile units, which also is deployed in district offices under the regional office of Shabani. Under the very same offices, district offices, such as your press office, there in that office where nothing was acquired over the period in question, your OD office, which is under REM, nothing was acquired. We have your Mankwe office, fax machine and board, room chairs, Mabupani office, photocopy and shredders, your Muretela office, nothing acquired over the period in question, Madikwe, nothing. Going to the region of Klerksdorp, the very same Klerksdorp regional office, one fax machine was acquired. This office had 2 additional mobile units under its management. The Potchefstroom office reporting to Klerksdorp, 7 oil heaters, 1 urn. Your Luxembourg district office, nothing acquired there. I should also mention that the very office, being your district office, Lichtenberg, has just completed a REM project. It now is what we are now doing is preparing for the handover to Department of Home Affairs, and we are planning to have a formal engagement with our local stakeholders, being the Premier's office, the people from head office, and other stakeholders when this event takes place. We have an interesting office. If the honourables remember very well, just almost over a year ago, Department of Labour closed the Itsuseng office due to non-compliance with the health standards within that office. We have been able, with the assistance, though through very long engagement of public works, being able to identify a site, and as we speak now, there is a temporary new site with the porters placed there, fence, etc., prepared for us to continue rendering our services within the same area. We also have the Atamelang. No furnishers were furniture or equipment was acquired over the period in question. According to our approved staff establishment, the Department of Home Affairs in the Northwest Province has 1,036 members, out of which 378 vacancies not filled. Now, this is up to and including the period end of March 2008. Since then, we have been in the process of, because we have just concluded a bulk advertisement recently, and we have started through the regional offices the process of shortlisting and interviews, and very soon quite a substantial number of people in the region of 120 would be appointed, and this would be part of the 378 which is reflected as funded and unfilled posts. We also are awaiting head office. We have requested head office to assist in the advertisement of quite a sizable number of posts in this current financial year. This advert, which they had planned to have as a block advert, has not been advertised as yet. So if you come to signing a performance agreement, your head of province over the period in question have signed your performance agreement. Assessment has been done of the period in question. The same would apply for the deputy provincial managers. Both the PM and DPM, as being SMS members, have
completed their assessment in the, over the period in question. The original managers have signed, they are presently being assessed by the deputy provincial manager since they report to him. The district managers in the district offices. I should also mention to the honorables and colleagues that over the last financial year, as we filled new posts after the approval of the new establishment, we were able to appoint 6 ASDs in our district offices from outside. If we look at some statistics, we look at IDs issued to clients, and I tried to make a comparable study of the last financial year and the period before. Looking at 2006, we had 9,251 IDs issued. In 2007, March, we had 125,478 IDs issued. I think the first period of 2006, of 9,251 may not be covering the full period. I'll just have to double check on this figure. This doesn't sound correct. On unclaimed IDs over the two periods. Now, this is one figure that I couldn't get verification on when I made a follow-up. By that time, I was actually preparing to come, but this is why I said I should verify it later. But the other statistics are correct, are fine. Your unclaimed IDs over the period 2006. In other words, 2005, 2006, by end of March 2006, we had 8,810 unclaimed IDs being in the shelves. By March 2008, this year, we have 23,230. Now, what is reflected here is that the huge increase in these two numbers, 8,000 shooting up to 23,000, and this has come as a result of a huge increase of IDs delivered at offices as a result of the introduction of the track and trace, and also what has exacerbated that is our termination of the contract that we had with SAPO, which are in certain parts and certain areas was helping to a great extent. But the subsequent figure, it is not for the full period, it's only the figure at the end of April. It doesn't cover the period in question, it's just indicating that this figure has started coming down to 22,927. So both certificates issued over the year before is 106,707. The last financial year is 104,476. A slight decline in the issuing of birth certificates. Online birth registration, 3,438 against 5,435. Now, this online birth registration of birth and death within the province is primarily generated from 4 provincial hospitals out of the whole province. And these figures, in essence, could have been 10 or even 20 times more. It's not optimally used, and this is as a result of people not using this facility. And the office has been in pain trying to get support and assistance from the side of communication to assist us in launching a campaign, dissemination of information to make public awareness campaign to make people aware that we have the services at our provincial hospitals. So the following subsequent pages would only be a breakdown of the unclaimed identity document over the period in question.
regional office Mabatu with its district offices, your regional office Rustenburg with its district offices, and your regional office Klerksdorp with its district offices. What is important to note is there are out of the total number of 23,230 in the green column at the extreme right, there are at least four to five offices which have a serious challenge with regard to distribution of IDs, which is your Mabopane office, your Rustenburg office, your Moretele, and your Brad office. Now, we have since had very thorough discussions with the management in question. We roped in the assistance of our communication officer. We also have a communication officer. And as recent as of 1 or 2 months ago, our communication officer also joined the communication forum in the province where they have regular meetings. And we will be starting to address this backlog through the participation of the forums that we will be engaging with our stakeholders. And one of the other things that we also are taking advantage of is the ongoing matriculants campaign at schools, which was a national office initiative in essence, but we also have, as we speak now, stakeholders such as your IEC on board when we visit schools, the distribution of IDs that have been completed when we go to schools to deliver them. We have IEC people who would also embark on their information campaigns in preparation towards the coming elections. So we also take advantage of ensuring that certain areas where we have a number of IDs within offices in the neighborhood, we also take this IDs along to distribute. But one of the challenges is then the reluctance of your school authorities to get community members to come to schools when we visit the schools with the matriculant campaign. And the following page where it's referring to name tags. Yeah, 150 people, plus minus 150 people in the province don't have name tags, but that doesn't suggest they cannot be identified. When I visit offices, I say, why are you waiting? Because some of them are having old name tags. I'm referring here to new name tags, and some don't have it all. I say, this is not an excuse not to display who you are. You can, they make use of writing in hand or typing the name, their name, on and putting it on their clothing to be identified. So this, we had a problem with the service provider who is producing this name tag. The service provider agreement was terminated with the department, and we are awaiting a new service provider to be producing name tags for us. Hence, there has been this outstanding name tag has been there for some time. Now, the following page is reflecting the number of frontline staff. In other words, those people dealing direct with our public members, starting from your Mabatu regional office, you have 11 there, you have Molopo district office 10, you have Lichtenberg 10, Lichtenberg 28, you have Freiberg 8, Sukhanyisa 7, Taung 10, Klerksdorp, Potchefstroom, Wolmaranstad, Atamelang, under the Rustenburg, the number 3 is a second correction. That number is only reflecting the ID section. The total number of frontline staff in the Rustenburg office is 10. Your OB office is 5, Mabopane 8, Mankwe 2, Madikwe 8, Brits 8, Moretele 10, Luhurutse 4. Now, before I proceed, I should also mention that we have recently engaged the services of our post-matriculants under the program referred to as the National Youth Services. And there have been in the province 54
throughout the province in our offices have been deployed. And since they started working in our offices over a contract period of 1 year, there have been very positive changes in terms of, because they are particularly focusing on challenges such as queues, assisting people with completion of forms, receipts, and the separation of guests arriving with ID documents, etc. Then I've also encouraged some of our offices where the challenge is on the increase in terms of assisting and training them to man our information desk. So the following page, the following slide, the following slide is on the people having access to the National Population Register. In other words, people who are able to work on our systems. I have given totals of 141 in the Rustenburg region, Klerksdorp 69, Mawatu 110. And all these people are accessing our National Population Register through biometrics. Biometric system. In other words, we're not using the old user IDs. Although at certain places, the biometrics from time to time would give us quite some serious challenges when it is not effective. And on the other hand, we also have a very serious problem if we want to extend the usage of the biometric system into mobile units. You cannot have it operating there. Physical security. We have recently installed in we have identified three regional offices, which is your Klerksdorp, Rustenburg, and Mawatu regional office, to have CCTV systems installed, to have metal detectors in at the access installed, and also to have full-time physical security manning this access control. And this was, as far as was indicated previously, due to limitation of budgets, because the idea is to have it extended to the rest of our offices. This exercise has recently been completed, and we have it fully operating in our Klerksdorp office, and the next step is to have it done in our regional office, Klerksdorp, at Rustenburg, followed by Mawatu. But not only that, the rest of most of our offices have alarm systems installed, although not armed reaction, coupled with armed reaction. We have physical security of services provided by a private service provider throughout the province, and in the main executing such duties in the afternoon, evening from 6 to 6 in the morning. And now the unfortunate part, or the challenge again here with regards to the service provider, is that the term or the agreement with the service provider came to an end by March, and by January, and we started having the services on a month-to-month basis until a tender has been advertised by head office. Our relationship with the local stakeholders. We continue having community outreach programs. We have formalized our relations with traditional leaders, where we have monthly engagements through local offices or district offices, including the regional offices. We have a joint ID distribution campaign with local government, particularly as I've mentioned earlier, with particular focus on offices such as your Rustenburg, your Mabupani, your Muretele, your Brits, where there is a serious challenge in terms of backlog of IDs, because on average we would be receiving in such offices in excess of 2,500 IDs per week coming from head office. Participation with government departments such as your SASA, Labour, etc. We have recently entered into started a forum with your Labour department, one-on-one, unlike the cluster arrangement, together with and with particular emphasis on our relationship with regards to how we should handle and streamline the application of your permits. That ordinarily would also go through your through your labor offices for comments. We are part of the provincial government's disaster management team. Our representative there is a deputy provincial manager. We haven't received any vehicles in the last financial year. The following would be with regard to a national immigration branch. This is the structure, and as we speak now, up to February 2008, we had an acting CIS in the province who would execute the function of a head of NIB in the province. We have lost this, and this vacancy, this position is not occupied. And it's quite some challenge, because he played a very crucial role, particularly around the streamlining of BCOCC activities with other stakeholders in the province and at port of entries. This is the structure as depicted. You have control immigration officers in regional office and at port. You have 8 port of entries with 1 international airport. I'm sure most of us are aware now that the status of the international airport, the international status of Pilansberg is to be moved to Mabatu Airport. We have 3 commercial port of entries: your Skulpad Head, your Ramatlabama, and your Kopfontein. And we have 5 non-commercial port of entries in the province. All these port of entries are sharing borders with Botswana. Reflected here is just a brief reflection on the field positions that we have within our National Immigration Branch at different ports of entries. We have at Durbanport, we have 7 immigration officers. We have Kopfontein 31, Swart Kopfontein 31, Skulpazek 31, Ramatlabama 31, Mahobistad 7, Bray 7, Makopong 7, Pilansberg 7. And now we're saying the adjacent column under your Durbanport, we have 4 still to undergo training, 5 still to undergo training at Kopfontein, 10 at Swart Kopfontein, 5 at Skulpazek, 2 at Ramatlabama, 6 at Mahobistad, 2 at Bray, 1 at Makopong, and 1 at Pilansberg. This training has been, we embarked on this training, and it was done during the new financial year. The three ports of entries which are selected for the purpose of this presentation, I'm giving indication as to the 3 of our best ports of entries and the 3 of our worst ports of entries within the province. One of the better ports of entries is obviously your commercial port of entry, being your Kopfontein, which is about 100 kilometers from Zeerust.
it's the busiest port of one of the three busiest port of entries in the province. It's presently operating between 6 o'clock in the morning until 2200 hours in the afternoon. We hope to have through our BCOCC arrangement an increase in operational hours to 24 hours. The same would apply to your other port of entries, all three port of entries, which would include your Ramatlabama and your Skalpatek. Other port of entries which have very, very serious challenges, it's your port of entry such as your Derdepoort. Derdepoort, the nearest town again being your Zeerust, is about 185 kilometers away from Zeerust. Operational hours there is from 6 o'clock until 7 in the evening. It's one of the smaller port of entries in the province. It's non-commercial. The structure or facility that we're using there is shared with subs. People are still being served through windows, and there are no proper residential accommodation for people who are staying there. In other words, they are sharing with people of subs. I will skip Skelpa's Head because it's very similar to Kootfontein. Your other port of entry would then be your Brave, which is this. Your Brave port of entry, it also has the same type of challenges like your Derdepoort. You have a serious accommodation problem there. You operate from an office accommodation which is very, very small, an old South African Police Services house. People are served through windows, and then when it rains, it's a mess. But these are the port of entries that people from the turnaround team together with BCOCC have started visiting in terms of your ramp renovation plans. I will skip and get to key challenges that we have. The Northwest province, in essence, apart from the challenges that I have captured here, it's quite a few. If we start by looking at the handover of our Carletonville office, which hasn't taken place as we speak now. The Khutong area, the challenges that we had in Khutong, the inability of my office, the office from Carletonville, to service the permanent service point in Khutong. You have challenges as reflected in the presentation of accommodation at most of our port of entries, particularly the small port of entries. You have challenges that you have with a particular caliber of people that we have in district offices, referred to as your Judge White people, that a caliber of people that you cannot train. So this therefore also suggests that you have serious middle management challenge in the execution of your functions in the district offices. One of the most telling constraints that not only Northwest really experienced is the allocation of the budget to the province in terms of how much budget under your goods and services, how much under your employee remuneration is the province allocated. That I'm referring to the same budget being approved by the portfolio committee. You have this budget that you are given by head office, and you must fit in within the budget what can be done and take out what you cannot do within those constraints. You're not party in terms of the input on critical issues that you need to address in any given period. So this is quite some challenge, and you obviously also have a challenge such as the devolution of functions within the province, be it under your civic services, be it under your supply chain management, be it under your
your support services, your HR, etc. Most of these challenges contain the ability of you wanting to accomplish within the period that you have set yourself, because there is this dependency factor that everything from time to time has to be referred to head offices. We have in the main, although it is indicated and it will be reflected in a very much detailed report in terms of how many misconduct cases over the period have been identified, how many people have been charged. One of the very serious constraints that we have is also the inability of you as a provincial head to charge, to be able to charge and act speedily and act swift when issues such as corruption. You have to submit a presentation to head office, have the charge formulated from there because of your inability to have these functions within the province. And here you refer to your investigation, you refer to internal audit, you refer to your you refer to your to your investigation, internal audit, and employee relations. Your ability to start and finalize a process where you have discovered with tangible evidence that any of your employees have made themselves guilty to misconduct or corruption. So it's an array of such challenges which present themselves. But I will move on with your permission, Chair. We don't have within the province any refugee reception centres, but that doesn't suggest that we don't have refugee problems. We because of the ruralness of the province. The province has quite a number of villages, and that has become evident nowadays. If you travel through the villages of Northwest, you'll find in little tuck shops, house shops, very deep in the villages, being owned by Pakistanians, and you can understand how they got that deep into the village to own a tuck shop. The mobile unit is one other challenge that we have, Chair. The province in total has 11 mobile units, and from the onset, I think the introduction of the mobile unit has just been one complete mess. And as we attempt to optimally utilize and engage them fruitfully, and get optimal service out of this unit, you discover that you do not have the resources. You must take resources from your offices to mend the units, to get them operational. You have people coming to you to actually refuse to drive them because once they have the code 10 or code 12, they need something like public service, which is a long exercise to acquire. They haven't undergone training in terms of maintenance of this unit, your technical aspect, inside, out. So out of these mega units, which are 11 in the province, in the main, we have 6 which are operational, 7 are not operational and unserviceable. And out of the 7, most of them, 90% of them, satellite dish related. The next slide, I will talk about the budget that was allocated over the period 2007-2008. The province, from the 1st of April 2007, received 91.7 million rand. This money was subdivided under employee compensation, overtime, goods and services, and vehicles. By the end of the financial year, which was March 2008, We under employee compensation, we have spent 102% of the amount. Under overtime, which is it is separated as an independent component because it takes a lot of the budget money, and it was 105%, primarily because you used
quite a lot of your people to work extra hours or on posts or to fill up gaps where you don't have posts filled. You have goods and services in that regard. We had 112% used by the end of the financial year. Our most biggest challenge within the framework of the expenditure of our budget is our vehicles within the province, and particularly vehicles that are so-called contracted by Gauteng Transport. Now we spent 146% of the budget, and at the end of the day we had 106% used. We spent 6% more from our total budget. But in between, as it happened with other provinces, by September, when we did adjustment of budget and it was discovered that there are certain posts which couldn't be filled, and it's highly unlikely that they will be filled in the remaining financial year, some funds were removed from the budget. In other words, from the 92, almost 6 million was removed. So in total, the money that was left with the province over the period in question was 86,202,000. And this money was, as I explained earlier, used to subsidize or assist with the funding of the turnaround team. That is the end of it. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. We would make an appeal that presenters need not to motivate and motivate. We know that you would like to say everything so as we can maybe get to the bottom of the challenges that are facing us. But with due respect, let's try to ensure that we save time as much as possible. But on that score, then we are going to take questions from the two provinces. You might maybe indicate which province you are directing your question, and then if ever maybe you would like two of those people to answer, if it is a comment, and then you would to get exactly how do they view this problem, because of these problems do overlap to one another. Thank you. I will then have to start on my far left, the member there, and Bierkman and Koishi.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I would just like to find out from the presenter of Limpopo. There is a major problem with Limpopo, which we all know, and that seems to be really where everything's happening at the moment. Do you really think that surveillance cambers would really help at Baybridge? And I mean, the people that are coming through are just coming through, they land up in Messina, they have a meal, they get bussed back again, and the next day they're back again, and so it's just a yo-yo backwards and forwards. Could you perhaps give us some idea of how this porous border could be better secured, or whatever you would like to say? And also, do you have any idea of how much bribery is going on for people buying documents? And to the presenter from Northwest, the manager from Northwest, why are the mobiles a complete mess, and why can't the biometrics be used in mobiles, for instance fingerprints? Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the other one.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, Chair, what I find very strange, on the one hand, it's two presentations by the same department. The one presentation by Northwest, I think it's a very good one. It's critical, it's frank, it's open. You put some good things on the table, also some bad ones. Then we move to the Limpopo one, and I've read it through it now for four times. There is really no indication of the challenges. Best Portfolio Committee, we know horses coming from that area. We want to know the challenges. For instance, we, and that's the question I've got specifically for the gentleman from Limpopo. We had, during the hearings on the Refugee Amendment Bill, various submissions at this committee. And I've got one in front of me that specifically deals with the whole question of Messina and the refugees. Not a word, not a single reference in your report. At least we wanted something from your side to say, this is the challenges, this is the problems. I mean, it's international organizations who question our human rights policy. Then we at least need from the provincial managers a frank and open report. So I would say, Chair, in my analysis, well done, Northwest. I think it's good, it's balanced, but Limpopo, please give us the correct picture that we as legislatures can really engage with the issues. Otherwise, it doesn't help to bring a report mentioning all the statistics, how many vehicles and how many photocopies. We need to know what is the challenges that we can influence policy.
Thank you. Kosi, followed by the Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm also going to relay my questions and comments to Limpopo, Comrade Muloi. Starting with page, but it doesn't have page, it talks about quick facts about Limpopo. I just want to correct, Chairperson, the presentation you got, it does not reflect correctly what is happening in Limpopo. In Limpopo, there are Bapedi speaking, Botswana speaking, Swazi speaking, Ndebele speaking, and Tsonga speaking. But the slide is omitting the real issues. Coming to the question of provincial managers, with regard to Capricorn and Skukuni. Chairperson, you still remember the S Portfolio Committee during the Lambinon. We discussed this issue in detail, Chairperson, until head office acceded to Portfolio Committee with regard to regional offices. To my surprise, Chairperson, it went back to square one. According to the documents we have, Sikukune is a regional office. But to my surprise, Capricorn and Sikukune fall under one person, Mrs. Sowale, who used to head Lebowa Gomo regional office. But Capricorn, it does not have a regional representative, Chairperson. Coming to the question of Okanagan approved, Comrade Sita, Chairperson, he stated clearly, Fatahosi.
What?
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Under the presentation from CITAC with regard to Organigram of Limpopo Province, Sita explained clearly that Krobelsdal, Mavulol, Denelton, where Fatahosi Mapedi is staying, Beggersford, Steelport, used to be under the jurisdiction of CETA. Now is under the jurisdiction of Limpopo. But on the organogram, it does not appear anywhere where Beggersford, towards Steelport, Krobelsdal, Mavulol, Denelton, magistrate, where Home Affairs is next to Hoshima Teves place, and the Denelton Hospital, where Home Affairs is operating online. It does not appear on the organogram. Again, Chairperson, coming to the question of district office, he stated clearly and correctly to say, Jane Fess, where according to the previous agreement of Department of Home Affairs, where it was supposed to be the regional office, according to this new organogram, now is going to be the district office. Chairperson, is always my argument. If you know Lewung, Chairperson is straight on tunnel. How can we still expect people from Freedom Tunnel to travel more than 250 to go and be served in Polokwane, while there are a lot of agreements, we've got a lot of documents, unless maybe the presenter, Mr. Mulumi, is not working hand in glove with his deputy Mabunda, who used to be the administrator. And he's got all the documents I'm having with regard to the said regions. Also, Chairperson, under the same organogram, Simanyane, where Mem Mathibela is staying, Grolasdal is my witness. This may start right there. He can die black. Grolasdal also, not Grolasdal, Simanyane, used to be the also the service point, but according to this organogram, it does not appear anywhere. As I have already alluded, Father Hoshi Mathebe is my witness. At his place, there is service point, but on the organogram of Limpopo, it does not appear anywhere. I hope maybe the presenter will go back home together with his DPDs and correct all these, maybe it's omission on the part of the typing. Also coming to the Robles Brech, Chairperson, according to the records we are having, there is a port of entry at Seleka site where they are speaking Tswana. It's called Robles Brech, not Robles Beck. But according to this document, it's called Robles Beck. And again, Chairperson, I would love to ask all the presenters why this printing of documents came from one place. You can check from all this presentation we got, they come from one place. In other words, Chairperson, we are not going to get the correct presentation or and what is happening on the ground where under the devolution of power. Where under the devolution of power they've got the power to print their own presentation to this portfolio committee. And coming to the question of Bait Bridge, Chairperson, as my predecessor have already said, there are a lot of challenges happening in Limpopo with regard to home affairs issues. There are challenges caused by the people coming from Mozambique, the Tsonga speaking from Mozambique, because other traditional leaders of the same people are staying in Limpopo. There are other challenges caused by the Venda speaking and the Shona speaking. Other people of Hoshi Nechitenje are staying in the Zimbabwe, but they are traditional leaders in the Limpopo province. And also other challenges, Chairperson, from Hoshi Seleka, next to Robles Brech. The other subjects of Hoshi Seleka are on the other side of Botswana, the same as Northwest, where other people from Botswana side, Luhurutse and Ramatabama, other Botswana speaking from the same traditional leaders, others are staying on the other side of Botswana, others are staying in South Africa. Those are the challenges which must be reflected on the report, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Correction?
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. On the organogram here, there is this under Holland District Office. Hoshi here has just mentioned that my area is not mentioned here, but I just wanted to say it's here. It's this service point, Munze. But I agree with you when you are saying it doesn't appear because it's not functional. I agree with you, Hush. They send an official there once a week or once in 2 weeks. And who doesn't even stay for an hour there? When people go there, they say, no, that man was here in the morning. Nobody knows where he is. So people have to travel more than 30 kilometers from Mute to Holondal on a daily basis. Others have to travel 60 k's from Malivisa.
Thank you.
So
it's
another correction.
Is it a question or is it a correction? Can we have...
No, I was correcting to say, no, that service point is here on the organogram, but it's not functional.
Okay. On top of that, you want to pose a question?
No, no, no. I was just telling the provincial manager that that office is not functional. You must make sure that that person stays there every day until from 8 until 4 o'clock. So that our people... And I'm going to monitor him. And I'll phone him if I don't find him there. Another one, this MPCC, Moholo Modumo. It's not Moholo Modumo, it's Kholo Modumo. Kholo Modumo.
Thank you.
Mr. Moloi, I will definitely go into monitor that one in Moose. Our people are suffering really.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for that.
No, thank you, Chairperson. With regards to Limpopo, I thought that will get the brief around issues of asylum. Generally, not only asylum, the influx of migrants in that province. And I know that it's one of the biggest challenges that the province is faced with. The issue of the Musina Repatriation Center. I thought that maybe you'd be able to touch on those issues, but to me it's very surprising that you'd not get to the core problems of the challenges that you're faced with in the province. Maybe it's the omission or whatever. But the point that Khosi is raising, on the serious note, your presentation is, unless you will say that provincial managers came together at some point and then they sort of looked into their presentation and then agree that these are things that we want Watch Call to put together. But I know for a fact that you have submitted, obviously, a provincial report to head office, which is not a problem, I think. Nobody will want even to accuse you of that. Because I sense, and part of what I'll deal with when we close after everybody has spoken, I sense some kind of similarities with regards to the strategy, the approach, the layout of your presentation, which I think is correct because it shows unity in action on your side. But just share with us, man, how you have arrived at the finalization of your presentation, this is what I've presented. How have you arrived? I mean, to a point that either you have submitted first to head office, they look at it, and then you come back and encourage them, and then to until the end product. But to me, it's very important that part. Because if head office does not make input, you may find a problem, you may raise issues that are not possible. So it's very important that we look at that watch call. Have you done the head office presentation either with the DDG just to take it through so that you don't bring junk in the community? That's one thing that I want you to respond on. And then I'll come back, I think, maybe later, Chairperson.
Thank you. Can we then get answers to question posed? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, Honourable Members. The major problem on surveillance cameras, and one giving an idea of the broader issue of the border issues, whether we can secure further the border. In the presentation, when I spoke about surveillance cameras, it's not for the borderline per se, but surveillance cameras were intended for the staff that interact with the public. Given the high nature of the corruption cases that we sit in, and people sometimes getting away because the supervisor would collude with the staff, maybe because they know each other's weaknesses, or they know whatever they had done in the past, it might come into the open, and then they decide to collude among themselves. And with evidence that you have from surveillance cameras, it would be irrefutable that eventually would have to deal with corruption in total, where it occurs in an office. Eventually, although it would not be eliminated completely, for the staff will know where those surveillance cameras will be positioned within the office. Although we may put them as clandestinely as we'd love to, and they will eventually know that there's cameras at this site, and will find a blind spot where they can continue with their corrupt activities. And to me, it would be, we will not totally eliminate corruption, but we will be able to control it to an extent that we can give account to auspicious occasions like this, where we factfully and factually are saying we have reduced corruption from these levels to those levels. For now, I cannot come to the portfolio committee and say I have reduced corruption at Bedbridge. I have not. I haven't even touched the tip of it. So in essence, one needs those as surveillance assistants. In terms of an idea how the border can be secured further, the border for me, the longest border is in the province Limpopo, from especially between South Africa and Zimbabwe. It's very difficult to say we can secure it further. We deploy the army, and now currently the SAPS has taken over the control of the borderline. Whether that would have an effect that one would want to have, it's speculative at the moment. But it also links to what Hoshim Ramosha was saying, that other subjects of kings or chiefs are divided by these borders. So it creates a disjunction. As an African, I want to say, let's do away with the borders. Let's just, I mean, we're maintaining something. Are we xenophobic? I may just ask that question. Are we xenophobic by maintaining that line of border between Zimbabwe and South Africa, that we are maintaining and paying so much to keep for its upkeep? But in essence, one cannot use emotional things to make logistical intelligent information or intelligent ideas to bring, so that it brings to bear to the security of the country. How much bribery is going on in Bedbridge? There's much too much. It's unbearable, and I cannot put a figure to it. But by virtue of us arresting and suspending officials left, right, center, as we speak, we have dismissed about in the year under review, we've dismissed in Bedbridge alone about 7 employees. So in essence, it tells you the extent of the graft that is within the border post. So one cannot put a figure to say this much, although there are of course officials that would try to be not smeared by this corrupt activity. I mean, one can cite an incident of an officer that selflessly brought a child to life. I mean, a woman was giving birth at the border post, and you cannot associate a dead person that has delivered a child with corrupt activities. For me, it makes no sense that this person, who had seen that this poor woman was in a lot of pain, although she's not trained as a midwife, she managed to deliver the child with the assistance of someone who had previously delivered the child. So in essence, it indicates to us that not all of the people that are within the border post or within Home Affairs are corrupt. It shows that there are those pockets of people that one would be proud to be associated with. So it is that kind of behavior that one wants to promote. And unfortunately, we don't shout hard enough about those kind of behaviors. The only one that's in the glare, that's in the eyes of everybody, is the corrupt activities that are going on. But I cannot put a figure to how much corruption or bribery is going on at the border post. In terms of indicating challenges in the presentation that I've done, particularly making an impact to the portfolio committee, that would enable you to engage in a manner that gives credence to whatever arguments that one might bring forth. Maybe, for instance, the refugee amendment bill, the issues at Musina. Let me admit to say I've learned my lessons that coming to the portfolio committee would mean I should stipulate challenges as they are. They shouldn't be stuck in my head. I should bring them out of the head and bring them onto the presentation so that people are... Sometimes you assume that what you know, others know. But in essence, that is not the truth. For I might have spoken about it in the presentation to say these are the issues. And perhaps the honourable member might not have been here when I spoke about it. But the essence of it has to be on the document that is presented to the portfolio committee. And my apologies for not having given it the full attention that it deserves. And I want to say it's not intentional. I have not been sanctioned. I have not been told. No, I have not been told in any way. I have not been told in any way. I don't think any of us as PMs have ever been told or have been sanctioned in terms of what we need to say. It's just that the manner in which we have been ready to come and present in the past, but because there's been this to and froing, we didn't give the full attention that we usually do. I it's unfortunate that whoever had briefed the current chief had not done a proper job to say provinces do go, in spite of whatever, however you may feel, do go to portfolio committee to present the essence of what is happening within the provinces. Maybe it's an indication, I don't know, of the respect that the provincial managers command within the new chain of command. The quick fact about Limpopo, Khoshi, I made a correction. Kemaswabi, I'm so sorry. Let me say I will ensure that this organogram, although the organogram was approved in 2006, it should reflect all the things that were agreed upon prior to 2006, so that it is indicative of the changes that the department is undergoing. But let me hasten to add as well that we undertake some other studies as well, the scientific the CSIR study, which indicates to us that offices should not be far away from, the public should not be should not walk 50 kilometers or drive 50 kilometers to a nearest Home Affairs office. And in essence, as we get all this information, some of the agreements or information that was there gets lost along the line, particularly with the changing of the guard as well, where there's a new leadership, people change, and you're not given all the information as to these were the agreements, it's not documented. And as an organization in Home Affairs, I find it to be an organization that does not have a lot of knowledge, information, or information that is being kept, so that one can tap into it and be able to say these are the decisions that have been made and these are things that we would do going forward. But in essence, it's just a matter of having handovers. But the 200 kilometers, Simanyane as a service point. Khoshi, I'll look into the distances and see if our mobiles. I'd indicated the problems we had with the mobiles, that it's two of the mobiles, of the 16 that were allocated, only two were operational. But the two that we have, there's been an improvement in the past month or so. We have six that are now operational. Because of some intervention, they've appointed a new project manager at head office who comes to the provinces. At least there, you can see that there's some changes that are happening. So six are operational. I'll ensure that our people out there don't travel more than 200 kilometers. It is going to be a pet project among all these far-flung areas that I ensure that mobiles are deployed to these areas without our people subjected to high fees of taxis or having to walk these unbearable kilometers. The Malta office, I'm making a commitment that we will make it operational. And I'm glad that I'm making it in public so that I'm held to account if it does not become functional. And the important thing is it can be made functional because our hands were held in the past that we could not employ people because there's this change that is happening and we don't know how many posts are going to happen. And we have indicated to Central Asia that we need to employ people on a temporary or a contract basis there to alleviate the problem that we experience. So the money that is allocated for personnel, we can use for contract workers to plug the gaps while the processes of change are being undertaken. So that has been agreed upon. And it is something that we are doing in the province. For instance, we've now employed about 10 temporary workers or contract workers for 6 months at Tzaneen, so that we deploy them to the various areas around Tzaneen, so that the problems we had experienced with Tzaneen gets alleviated. The influx of asylum or the Mucina Repatriation Center. The repatriation center, maybe I should just give a background on it as to how it came about. It was not intended to be a repatriation center. As the police were doing their function of arresting illegal travelers or illegal immigrants, the police station is under revamp at the moment. And as a result of the cramped environment in which the police operated, they then used that center to hold these people that they arrested. But in essence, it created a problem because as Home Affairs, we then would have people that come from Somalia and all and Sudan and all the other countries from up north coming through the border post. And in the state in which they are, the officers would try to give them assistance, and the only assistance they would get would be at the repatriation center. And it became alive in that way. It's not formalized. It's something that was done as an ad hoc measure, but it is indeed a problem. I'm aware of the things that are going on at the repatriation center, and. It is not a problem I can resolve or we can resolve alone as a department. It needs all of us to put our heads together. I had spoken to the municipality in Mucina to say how can they come to the party. I spoke to the Department of Health in the province as to can we give assistance in terms of medical assistance at that center as well. I suppose maybe then how did we arrive at the end product as it is? We report to the portfolio committee, we report on a quarterly basis, we report to our principal on a one-on-one every month. So the structure of reporting becomes aligned in a way because we're reporting on the same thing over and over again. And no one has sent let me speak for myself. I did not send my report to anybody at head office to go and ratify it and resend it so that I can send it. I had indicated that it's maybe the toing and froing that had created the quality to be sacrificed a bit. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Can we get some answers, if any, from the presenter of the Northwest? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just perhaps adding on the last input made by my colleague on the common nature of the presentations that we all had. I think in the main what's picked up is it's how it's printed. Yes, what actually happened now? Even from myself, I hastily had to walk on an old and update with the latest information and existing presentation that was done before, taking into account the factors and issues that were that are reflected in the communique, which I tried to, but the presentation itself was not sent for verification or editing or anything. And where it was indeed sent, mine, I think it's the same with other colleagues, because we are extremely under pressure by late afternoon yesterday. It was then forwarded to Cape Town, to our colleague to print. Mine was printed in Cape Town. I couldn't even find time to print it. So I just emailed to Mom Daji to assist with the printing. And these all were printed, I suppose, from the same office, and I at some point will probably be getting an invoice from her.
Okay. Maybe if we can maybe take, if any, question from, I think you will comment as you present. Not now. Thank you. If one can maybe try to ask a question from this point on the side of the Northwest. You have this mobiles which are 11 in number. But there is always this thing that you are telling us about. Maybe it is because of the handover thing. You spoke of challenges which are facing Mabopane, Odi, which is Karankua. But I wonder, are we not reporting something which is supposed to be reported by Gauteng because of up to so far, they might maybe reflect from the side of Gauteng. And then if we speak about the issue of getting the mobiles, you have your Kutsong. I don't know how do you work in and around Carltonville with Gauteng. And do you have something in Kutsong, of which I think we will have to report on? And then I don't know how do you work in and around Sandersdorp, because of January and so on. I spent almost about 3 days in Sandersdorp, and then there were other problems which were referred to be problems regarding ID books, birth certificate and death certificate in and around those areas in Ventersdorp. Can we get maybe clarity on those three matters?
Okay,
thank
sir.
You.
Sir, thank you very much.
Sorry, before there is one person,
yeah.
And then I want us just to take about 5 minutes and then so as we can get other two provinces. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Before you remind me another question with regard to Northwest. Chairperson, one of our oversight visit, Chairperson, we went to Potchefstroom Klerksdorp. When we arrived at the office, they said the mobile have gone to the other area next to, on your way to
Jobedina.
Yeah, Jobedina. When we arrived in Jobedina, there was no mobile. We came back to the office and said, but give us the correct direction. We had to phone the person who is controlling the mobile, only to find that that person is somewhere in Johannesburg. I just want to find out that anomalies are not happening anymore. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe I should start with the issue on the provincial demarcation. Your office being Mabopane and the office of Odi, which is Karankua, yes, it has been, and up to now, it has been managed by the Northwest Province. We engaged with the provincial manager in the middle of last year, towards end of the year, with a clear indication of having the formal handover completed by the 1st of April 2008, the beginning of the financial year. The submissions were made. We had an exchange of middle and top management at their respective offices. And what that entails is that you would have to have the transfer of staff, transfer of budget, transfer of assets, etc., finalized from the side of head office. And that hasn't been done, despite the fact that the submission has been written and forwarded. Now, what we agreed with him, Mr. Ndema, is that, okay, you are starting to enter into new business plans for the province. 2008-2009, none of us have completed all the business plans due to the delays in the threat plan of the department. So we agreed in principle engage those offices as from now and henceforth, including the management meetings that you are in the staging henceforth according to your own calendar. And I have briefed them, I've spoken to them, he has extended invitation, particularly about those two offices. What I haven't done so far is, despite the fact that but 2 weeks ago I was in Plaatsdorp and I visited Potchefstroom, but while I was in Plaatsdorp, I shared with the regional manager there that the next regional management meeting to be held under Plaatsdorp, she should extend an invitation to the Carletonville office, and within which I will also ensure that I share the same intent with the provincial manager for the office of Carletonville to start participating in the regional management sittings of the of Rustenburg whilst we are waiting for the response in terms of the submissions that were made on the handover, you know, physical handover of this, so that they can start becoming used. What happens now and what happens with is in Bizo, what happens with Outbridge, what happens with Service Point? The Khutong still remains a problem. There is, I think you will touch it in his presentation also. Khutong had a permanent service point. It still remains a problem, the accessibility to the service point of Khutong. But your other service points, such as your Wedela, your service points, such as the one we have in Fogville, are still serviced by the Potchefstroom office. We had that agreement long ago. So depending on really on the need, particularly around where you have big engagement of public functions, where we extend our services, we agreed and we both stand. You would stand from Randfontein, I would stand from, in terms of clubbing together, partnering together to attend to any particular functions that may take place in that area. The management of Carletonville office, I've personally briefed, I've engaged them, I've spoken to them, I had their concerns, on one-on-one, I brought my management there. So what remains to be done, which I hope within this current quarter would have it completed, is the formal handover of the Carletonville office to be residing under the regional office of Rustenburg. So the other aspect on the Jobetina, I picked up that anomaly that took place about the mobile unit that was deployed in Jobetina from the regional office of Plaatsdorp. Plaatsdorp office in relation to other regional offices within the province is a province that display and demonstrate almost among the best in terms of taking care of their vehicles and equipment. This issue, I did not get a report back as to what actually transpired, but in sharing with Ms. Mantlasi, the regional manager, she said, yes, indeed, there was a mobile unit sent to Bettina. And the person who was supposed to have meant that mobile units were to give a feedback to the regional manager. I didn't get the complete feedback on that, but I then said within our monthly, we do now on a monthly basis give comprehensive focused report on mobile units in detail, in terms of travels, in terms of mileage, in terms of usage, any breakdowns that they may have experienced is submitted on a monthly basis. And among the regions performing best, again once more, it's the region of Matlosan. If need be, I could still follow it up, Chair, together. But there are anomaly in terms of that. I don't think it would be happening anywhere else with regard to our mobile units.
I think it needs to be followed because of we need an answer, Chairperson. I think you need to take over now so as we can speed up this program. Thank you. I was concentrating on handing over. Okay, Chief Whip.
Thank you, Chair. I only have two questions, Chair. In the Free State, there's a vetting process going on there. I just wanted to find out who does the vetting process. And what is this spoken plug? You mentioned something like spoken plug. I don't understand what is this. And in Northwest, you're mentioning that all offices do not have reinforced filing cabinets or safes. I just want to know where do you keep your important documents. Thank you, Chair.
Right. The one who is ready, let's get under.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I'll just give a brief understanding is under the security environment. We have a control security officer in the Northwest Province, the level of SAO. And what he did initially was to conduct an audit, in security audit at all the offices, to find out where the possible risk may be in terms of addressing security challenges within the offices. Some didn't have lockable steel cabinets for IDs, but by end of last year, we have ensured that if you don't have a safe, You ought to have a lockable steel cabinet to have the ID documents locked up at the end of the day in all district offices by the end of the day, and any officer, office manager or district manager and or regional manager who would violate or close the office with IDs lying around would make themselves liable for disciplinary measures. Full stop. They know the ID shouldn't be, especially when office closed, they should be kept in a lock space because they keep such an itinerary, and they also need to ensure as we submit daily reports on the availability of IDs that are undelivered or uncollected on a daily basis. We have such which are referred to as flash reports, which we submit to head office. They ensure that this indeed is a verified figure and not some sack figures that are just forwarded to provincial offices.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Chair. The vetting, who does it? Vetting is done by the National Intelligence Agency. The vetting that is being undertaken in the province is as a result of the previous provincial head of NIA and myself agreeing that we need to do a threat risk analysis at the border post, in particular at Bedbridge. And as a result of the threat risk analysis that we did, we then had found that actually what the most risk we were at were officials that whose vetting has expired and who needed to be vetted further. And some who had not undergone the vetting as well. And they, because of the nature of the work that they involved in, it was important that we are sure that actually they are, their security clearance is without doubt. So we thus undertook that. Yes. The spook and plug is a spit and polish. What you do, you spit and you polish. It's an idea that you don't spend much money on a refurbishment. You just paint, do a paint job, you remove tiles, so that it gets a look and feel that would, instead of it looking shabby, it should look the same as those that are going to be revamped in a way that there's uniformity across. But you don't actually need to spend much more money as you would in a new office that you would construct.
Thank you very much. Let's hand over.
Thank you very much. Hello, Mr. Bean.
Because I'm here by leg.
No. Thank you very much, Kondosana. So that one can have a break a little bit, you know. Because sometimes it becomes hectic. But without really waste of time, I think I'm trying to look at the time. It's already 5. And I know that we're supposed to take one province. Now we have taken how many now? 5. We have taken 5 provinces now. And then tomorrow we'll have to adjust our time, meaning that we'll have to have an hour per province, hour and 10 minutes per province. That will lead us to 1 o'clock. Starting at 9. So the remaining 4 will allocate an hour, 15 minutes for questions, and 10 minutes for response. Meaning that if you are able to present your document, much on steps, I think some of the things that you may not want. I think by now, yourself, you now understand which critical areas that you want you to focus on. I think it will really help us rather than even going to state, which is correct, I think, to reflect on some of them, but let's even get the reason that the remaining provinces that we'll deal with tomorrow, there are more critical provinces too, meaning that Gauteng, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal. As you all know, the question is a densely populated province with a lot of challenges there. So we will then have to engage with you, but depending again on if we still have enough time, we will go until the first one, because we still have to do the amendment to the bill. You need really to focus on the current challenges, you know, the capacity of Home Affairs, question the shortage of staff, your IT systems in the office, distribution of what you call of your documents and that, and how you deal with issues of immigration. I think those are very critical areas that we'll have to focus on. When you look at the Eastern Cape, you have the refugee center in the Eastern Cape, and you focus on that, but much about your rural service points. I think mostly how do you deal with issues of rural. And none of you, in fact, have said anything about the influx of Pakistanis. You're touching it, but nobody's saying anything about it. But I hear someone was saying that, no, always they have documents and all of that, the Free State. It's Free State. I think it's one of the things that I want us to look at quite very seriously. Because to me, it's something that, we are very weak, in fact, as Home Affairs with regard to enforcing our laws. The problem may be the corruption that is taking place and the issue of legal documents that are all over. But as we engage, I think we have to begin to reflect on those issues. But so to say that I really want to thank you very much. Your question? Yes.
We thought because the bells haven't rung yet, why can't we take the last province so that tomorrow we take the last 3 and then deal with the refugee amendment bill? Thank you. The last one.
No, Chair, everybody's tired, Chair. We'll still push until 1 o'clock. By 1 o'clock, we'll be finished. I thought that would be the first job. I've received notes from your members.
Let's stick to come table, Chair.
But Mimigi has a proposal. What are you saying, Chris?
Accountant.
Because I'm Mimigi, with the guy who is the man. No, but on what's for me, this is it.
I don't know where
police
come from because you're supposed to have done.
How many comments is according to the program? No, that's fine. Can we resolve that? Let's start in the morning tomorrow night.
Yeah.
But we take into account the point that we make you. So can you just carry that on that one? But let's start tomorrow. Based on the notes that I have received here, a number of your members can collaborate in the morning. That's fine. Okay. Now,
all right, then members, what we'll then do is that we'll then convene G9. Where is the venue?
Same venue tomorrow. I think Ed, you must work on, things here. Yes. And secondly, the lunch arrangement. I think it's very bad. Not even a tea after that. And you know that you're going to work until late. Tea is not arranged. The lunch was very bad. Okay. That meat, like the meat that was put in the peanut butter. Old peanut butter. I'm not on record. But it's bad. I cannot feed my provision managers the kind of food that was prepared. Parliament, that's very poor. And no, on a serious note, if need be, write a letter and tell them. It's not correct that they would be treated like we don't know food. Some of us deal with food every day, and it's not what official men or some of us do in Parliament. You know, cholesterol and all of those things. You don't drink with food, to be fair. So on that note, then, members, I want to propose that we convene at 9 tomorrow. It gives you time, go back and rest. A bit of distressing, and I know when you're coming here, it was like, hey, it's going to be war. No, we're not at war. So therefore, let's meet tomorrow. All of you will be here tomorrow, and then at 9 o'clock, you know, let's meet. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Boa, eu
já